chapter number 5 of 1 John. I want to speak to you tonight on the witness of the Holy Ghost. The witness of the Holy Ghost. Remember this. When God's Holy Spirit moves inside you. And by the way, that's never going to happen until you come to Christ. And you can't come to Christ unless He comes to you. And fixes you so you can come. Draws you. The Spirit of God must draw you. Otherwise you cannot come. You're human. You're a fallen, depraved individual. And a depraved individual will not seek God. He'll find an excuse otherwise. He'll make him a fig-leafed apron. Let me tell you this. Angie, where'd you go? I want her to... Angie gave us this today at the meal. She's said this little boy visited his grandfather. And his grandfather had a big Bible on the table, and the little boy was thumbing through the Bible. His granddaddy was telling him about the Bible. As he came to certain things, he would tell him the story about the things that happened at that particular juncture. And somewhere along the line, he opened the page and a leaf fell out, fell onto the ground. And his grandpa said, "What was that?" And he got down and picked it up and he said, "I think it's Adam's underwear." I thought that was pretty good. Actually, it should have been his apron, but we'll take underwear from a young child. Say amen right there. All right, we're at chapter number 5. And again, the witness of the Spirit. What does the Spirit do in us, in me, in you, to cause things to change both within us and outside of us? Do you realize when the lights come on? Do me a favor, brother. Just turn the lights off right quick and right back on. All right, now flip them back on. Do you realize in that few seconds, a chemical change took place in your body? Yes, sir. Now, what I'm saying to you is, you can't enter light out of darkness without a change taking place. It is absolutely impossible. I could go into what happens as far as your seeing ability and so on takes place, but a lot of things happen when darkness comes, and then when the light comes, what a difference it is. Did you ever notice that about the only thing you're going to hear as far as a song is concerned is the song of the whippoorwill at night? And did you ever notice that it's a sad song? But wait till light starts coming across the horizon. Now the birds start chirping, and I mean it's a different sound altogether. And now the whippoorwill went to hide. His song's already been outdone. The birds may be smaller, but their sound is much brighter. The child of God's sound becomes brighter when the Holy Spirit moves inside. Something changes about us. Now the witness of the Spirit begins with the witness of the Word of God. Do you believe the Scriptures? Now, I'm not asking you tonight if you heard it one day and you believe it. I'm talking about, do you believe it to the point that you practice what you're told in the Word of God? If you don't do that, then you really don't believe it. You know, there are, now remember this, keep this in your mind. There are believing unbelievers and unbelieving believers. And you're one of those two in this building tonight. Can you figure it out? Believing unbelievers and unbelieving believers. If you know Christ tonight, you are a believing unbeliever. If you don't know Him, you're an unbelieving believer. You must believe something in order to be here. Right? Absolutely. Now look at this. Believing the Word of God. In 1 John chapter number 5, let's glance, if you will, at verse number 9 for just a moment. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. Right here is the Spirit of God telling us through His Word that we are to receive the witness of God. If we receive the witness of men, now you believe what men say once in a while. It do you good not to believe what a woman in particular is saying right now over the airways. You may as well not believe that junk. I don't think she's told the truth since she was 5 years old. But here, the Word of God declares the truths before us. Now, the Spirit of God witnesses within us that the Word of God is true. Here's where people really get in trouble. Let me explain this to you. Ginger can recall this, I'm sure. I would go to Texas for a meeting on a regular basis, sometimes twice a year. The preacher would call me and say, "Preacher, I want you to come on back." And I'd go back to Texas and preach for him. And I'd preach on Monday night. He'd say, "Meet me in the office in the morning about 9. 9 o'clock in the morning, I'd be in his office, and we'd sit there and discuss the scriptures until noon. We'd go get a bite. Sometimes he'd let me go then, sometimes he wouldn't. He'd say, "I want to talk to you some more off time." And we'd talk. And he just couldn't see the depravity of man. He couldn't see that man couldn't get to Jesus without God drawing him. He couldn't see these marvelous truths of what we call Calvinism. I call it Bible believers. Someone once asked me, "Are you a Calvinist?" No, I'm not a Calvinist. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to even call me anything like that, because the truth is that Mr. Calvin believed a lot of things I do not believe. I don't believe in killing people because they don't agree with you. I don't believe in baptizing babies. And a multitude of other things I'll not get into. I'm just saying to you that I am not a Calvinist. I am not a follower of John Calvin. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that said these things. "No man can come unto me except my Father, which sent me, draw him. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Most people know the latter part of that verse, but they don't know the first part of it. The Armenian will quote the latter part, but he won't quote the first part. A verse is not a verse if it's not a verse. How about that? Didn't take long to figure that out, did it? A verse is not a verse if it's not a verse. If it don't say what it says, then you're not saying what it says. God said what He said. And the Holy Ghost must draw us to Christ. We must believe the Word of God in order to be saved. And the Holy Ghost convinces us that it's so. Isn't that marvelous? We like to sit around and think about, "Boy, look what I did to get in." Yeah. You were stubborn. You were hateful. You were obnoxious. You didn't want to get to God. As a matter of fact, if He hadn't have got to you, you'd have never got to Him. And the Holy Ghost had to convince you that the record of the Lord Jesus Christ is so. Yeah. For we must believe that He is. Yeah. We must believe that He is a virgin-born Son of God. Now I'm hearing that that's not necessary. It's not necessary that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm going to tell you, you better believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't, you're going to hell like your big brother. Only God can change your direction. And only God can change your mind. Only the Holy Ghost will convince you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No preacher is ever able to do that. I used to tell young men that, and I tell you, their face would turn red. And they really wanted to fight, because they honestly thought they could convince men to come to Jesus. Can I tell you that you can't? Can I tell you that I can't? All we can do is present the truths, and God the Holy Ghost convinces the individual that this is so. And you believe it because the Holy Ghost said it, not because I said it, but because the Holy Ghost said it, because the Word of God says it. We'll get to that a bit further along tonight. Look at verse number 10 now. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. We're going to come back to that in a moment. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Do you mean to tell me that people call God a liar? Every unbeliever. He may not say it with his mouth, but with his actions he's saying God is a liar. Where is the record of God's Son? Nowhere else but right here. The record of God's Son is not found in our hymnals. Though there may be some glitches of the truth hither and thither, but the hymnals are not the things that convince us of the truth of God. It's the Word. And the Holy Ghost convinces us that the Word is so. Now we believe. And if we believe, then we're saying God is true. If we do not believe, we're saying God is a liar. Strong words, isn't it? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Let me give you something you can stay with the rest of your life. Everything God has is yours in Christ. Christ is the conduit that brings us everything God has. You see, without Christ, you get nothing from God. That's why so many people, you hear them speaking of God, God, God. Did you know that is entirely ineffective without Christ? You see, there are multitudes of religions that cry out to God. Even the Muslims cry out to their God. But they're trying to get there without Jesus. And without the stepping stone of Jesus Christ, you don't get to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty simple. You don't get there, Jesus said, without me. So all of those are false religious systems. When Christ is replaced with another, it's a false religious system. When Christ is replaced with something else, then it's a false religious system. Now, I'm not going to call all the names tonight. Just put them together. It's not Christ and. It's Christ. Jesus didn't say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me in baptism, but by me in the Book of Mormon and Moroni Baloney. Jesus didn't even say, but by me and speaking in tongues. It's Jesus. The mere mention of his name calms the brokenhearted, heals the sick, causes the storms to cease, takes away the fear, melts the heart of stone, and rejoices the heart that believes. No man who believes in Jesus Christ can do anything but rejoice when he hears the name Jesus. Then not only is there the witness of the Word that the Holy Ghost brings within us, but as well, here in verse number 10, as I said, we'd be back. He witnesses in our hearts. Look at verse number 10 again. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. In your very heart, Jesus lives, if you're a believer. Now, sometimes that's hard to believe it. I heard Mr. Armstrong say years ago, what fiction that Christ can live in a man. And I said, what fiction that you just put on the air. Listen to me. If Christ does not live in you, then you're a miserable person tonight. As a matter of fact, you are so miserable you cannot be helped but one. And that's the Holy Spirit. The witness in us that we are the children of God. Paul said, he that hath the Spirit of God is, but he that hath not the Spirit is not. Right? Now, you know if you're a child of God by the Spirit of God that lives within you. We have been taught down through the years, Baptist preachers are still teaching this tonight, telling us that all you need to do is memorize this verse of Scripture and claim it, and then when the devil comes down your path, you quote that verse of Scripture to him. Well, the devil knew the Scripture before you did. You're not going to surprise him with a verse of Scripture. No. A verse of Scripture doesn't mean you're born again. The Holy Ghost living inside you is the assurance that you're born again. Time and time again, I've seen people come to the altar and I've heard people go to them and say, oh, look at this verse and look at this verse. Listen, the Holy Ghost is the convincer in our hearts that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a verse of Scripture. And I'm not belittling the Word of God. It's necessary that we believe. But once we believe, it is the Word of God witnessed by the Holy Spirit down in our hearts that proves to us that we are the children of God. It's not because the preacher calls you brother or sister, and it's not because you sing in the choir, and it's not because you attend church and tithe and do all the things that church people do. Churchy things can't get you to heaven. But believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, being convinced of the Holy Ghost and being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. My, what a life-changing event just took place. The witness then in our hearts that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply believing God. Thirdly, the witness to our union with Him. Now, I have just hinted at that previously, but turn back to the book of John with me, chapter number 14. And here in chapter 14, verse number 20 comes to before our eyes. Look at this. At that day, watch the wording now, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What kind of a union is that? What a marvelous thing that God would live in us. This union is threefold. He's in the Father. The Father's in Him. And we are in Him. And He in us. It's actually fourfold. This reality surpasses anything this world has ever known previously. Now think about what I'm saying to you. It's not just being born of a mama. It's not like being born in a good family. It's like being born into the household of faith, and instead of you just coming into the world, it's someone coming into you. And you stepping in to somebody. Now how does that happen? The Holy Ghost comes on the scene again and baptizes us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory! You do know what the word baptize means, don't you? It don't mean just being put in water. It simply means to be placed into. So Paul said, you have been placed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's spirit baptism. That's spirit baptism. When the Spirit places you into the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mystical union. Do you realize that you are a miracle, a walking, breathing miracle? Right where you are tonight, you're a miracle. If you're a believer in Christ, Christ lives in you and you are in Him. And He is in God and God is in Him. Now, see if you can figure that out. It's not as easy as drawing a line from one to the other. This is a miraculous thing. No wonder the Old Testament saints want to look into it. No wonder they would like to be where we are. Do you realize we're a million miles ahead of the Old Testament saints? No matter who they are, we're a million miles ahead of them because the Holy Ghost has placed us in Christ. They never were there. Never will be there. But you and I are placed into Christ. I want to say to you one more time, you've heard me say this before, you'll hear me say it again if I live long enough. Thank God I was birthed this side of Calvary. Hallelujah. You'll thank God for it one of these days too. When you ever learn what it means to be birthed this side rather than that side of Calvary. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that has placed us in Christ. What a union. Gary and I are womb fellows. We were birthed of the same mother and the same father. We're brothers. That's a close union, isn't it? My wife and I have been married for well over half a century. And I know she don't look that old. She's been treated well. Me, I've been rode hard, put up wet more than one time. Never been toweled down and took care of the way she has. Am I telling you something? But this relationship is nothing to be compared to what we're talking about of literally spirit living in us. Now somebody said that can't happen. Well, look up here at me. You have to have a natural spirit to live. And you must have the Holy Spirit in you to live eternally. Right. It's just that simple. Your life is spirit. When that spirit goes away, you're dead as a doornail. Amen. Ginger and I ran to do some errands the other day, and Jerry was in the room with Mom. And we'd got back within a quarter of a mile. And Jerry called and said, "Lay, you better hurry. Mom's gone." Well, I got there. The shell of my mother was laying there. I walked over and touched her. No breath. Her body has begun to assume room temperature. I held her mouth closed until rigor mortis began to set in. I didn't want people to walk in and see her with her mouth wide open. She wouldn't have wanted that. And I held her mouth closed, and as I did, her body kept getting harder and harder. And as I looked on that lifeless shell, where my mother spent 89 years, there was no life. And the reason there was no life is because her breath had left her. The spirit of life had left her. But the Holy Ghost had taken her out of here to another world. Paul said it like this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, are you getting a hold of what I'm saying to you? The Spirit of life lives in you. If the Spirit of life lives in you, cannot the Spirit of God live in you? Why, of course He can. The Word said He can, and He proves that He can, because here He is inside of us, we who are believers. So the witness of this union is beyond imagination. That's why when God called Paul up to the third heaven and he saw all these things, that's why he said, "I have not seen." ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Are you hearing me? He said you can't even imagine it. If I don't put some shout in you, there is no shout in you. Hallelujah. Fourthly, the witness through us. Now, I said a moment ago that Christ is the conduit for everything God has to us. We are the conduit of the Holy Spirit in this world. Now, Jesus said it this way, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, did you hear that? And ye shall be witnesses. I want to tell you this, and I want you to try to understand it the way I'm saying it. I really can't teach you to be a witness. All of these courses that we've attended down through the years to teach us how to witness, you know what they do? They fall flat on their face. They really do. But the Holy Ghost. Ginger and I were out visiting one night, and we pastored in Florida. I'd had this burden all day long for Parnell. Went in. He was a very gracious fella. I'd met him a couple of times before, and Howard Meeks worked with him. And Howard had been witnessing to it. He said, "Preacher, someday when you can, just want you to go by." And I said, "Parnell, do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" Big old tears welled up in his eyes. And I said, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" "Oh, yes. Oh, yes." I didn't have to say a whole lot about him. He was already on his knees, that little coffee table, crying out to God. Are you listening to me? God, the Holy Ghost, He's really the witness. And when He sends you somewhere, yes, the fruit's already ripe. Yes. And if you're not careful, it'll fall on you instead of you having to pick it. But our problem is we don't listen to the Holy Ghost. Do you know what we do to a lot of folks? We just scare them of the church and worry them, aggravate them. Huh? I mean, the natural man's watching a boxing match, and you come up and knock on his door. Huh? He's going to put his arm around you and tell you how much he loves you and appreciates you coming up there and interrupting his boxing match. Or a ball game, or whatever else he's doing. And you're just, are you listening to me? But if God the Holy Ghost says, "Hey, you need to go see." Say, "He don't do that." Does He do that? In the mouth of two witnesses. Does He do that, Brother Ed? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, He do.
Yes, He do.
Now, hear me. He witnesses through us to others. Your greatest witness is not trying to buttonhole somebody. Your greatest witness is just being Christ in front of them.
Amen.
Just letting your little light shine in front of them. We learned it as children, didn't we? Remember that little song? Let your little light shine. Huh? Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, yeah. This light doesn't draw bugs. This light shows Jesus. And when folks sit, listen, at work, at play, wherever you are, just let your light shine. Don't look like your mother-in-law just moved in. Look like Jesus is in you. Act like Christ is in you. Say hello to folks. I dare say that I seldom ever pass an individual without saying hi. How are you today? Oh yeah. And most of them, now some of them will wait till they pass you by a little bit because they're afraid you'll strike up a conversation and they're too busy to talk with you right now. But most of them will come back, fine, how are you? How are you? And if I can't do that, I'll nod my head at them. They'll nod back at you. Just be friendly. It doesn't cost you a dime to be friendly. Christ, through His Spirit, witnessing through this vessel of clay. I used to call it, and I guess I still do because I'm going to use it tonight, the splash out effect. Or the spill over effect. You see, Christ is in you. You get so full of Christ, you get so full of the Holy Ghost that He just kind of splashes out on somebody else. God uses you. Thank God He uses means, huh? Wouldn't be any use me being here, no use you being here, if God didn't use means. But He uses means, and He uses men. So God is using us, His good Holy Ghost, using us to witness to others. Doesn't take much to be a witness. Just be who you are since God converted you. Just be who you are. Say thank the Lord in public. I mean, a crate of bricks fall in front of you and missed you. Now if it hit you, you couldn't say thank the Lord. You'd say hello, Lord. But if it missed you, say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. If it hit your wife, say, thank the Lord twice. If it hit your cat, say, thank the Lord all day long. When the Holy Ghost witnesses through us, my, what a difference it makes. Let me take that back. My, what a difference He makes. What a difference. What a difference. From darkness to light. It's that simple. From darkness to light. What a change. What a change. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed for a moment. Eyes are closed.